The Businessman President's Vanishing Businessman. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. After CEOs started abandoning ship from the president's business advisory groups, the president dissolved two of them, the Strategic Policy Forum and the American Manufacturing Council. It was a dramatic end to what began as a symbolic partnership between business and the president. Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell joins me now. Chris, these CEOs were initially walking away from the president. I assume there's a bottom line motivation there.
CEOs have learned they're not afraid of Trump. When Ken Frazier, he's the head of Merck, he resigned. Trump sent back a snarky tweet right away. And yet, at the end of the day, Merck stock, it was up nearly 1%. And then even more importantly, CEOs are deciding Trump doesn't have that temperament to use his leverage to negotiate. Does anybody really remember that that press conference on Tuesday was to talk about infrastructure spending? So I think this really signals, this is a symbolic sense of he can't deliver.
Even so, resigning from one of these councils or having them be dissolved, does that cut off a line of communication?
You know, I really like the way that Larry Summers, the former Treasury Secretary, in a piece in the Financial Times, does anybody really believe, he wrote, that Jamie Dimon, the very powerful head of J.P. Morgan Chase, calls the Federal Reserve, the Treasury, the Securities and Exchange Commission, that they're not going to take his phone call? These CEOs, they have very sophisticated lobbying operations. They'll continue to reach out to Congress and the administration just in a less stressful way, in a way that really puts their corporate brand at less risk.
Presidential business councils like these, do they do anything real?
You know, the discussions from the CEOs, these councils didn't really meet, and so they were mostly PR operations. But I was thinking back in the 1980s, which was another really troubled economic period, lots of worries about competitiveness of U.S. industry. And there were some really productive examples of government and the private sector coming together, like Semitec, which was a national consortium sort of to improve chip manufacturing, the equipment. And you think about companies like Intel and IBM and Motorola were involved in that. Or Congress in 1987 with the Malcolm Baldrige Awards to sort of encourage business to improve its quality. So it can be very productive. These councils, they weren't.
Marketplace's Chris Farrell, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
President Trump, in dissolving these councils, may not have to deal with CEOs who might snub him, but those CEOs still have to deal with the unpredictability of this administration and its real-world implications. Diane Swonk is CEO of DS Economics in Chicago. Diane, you've been having conversations with a lot of CEOs regularly. They're having to process this uncertainty, and it sounds like it's not abstract to them. It's affecting actual business decisions.
Not only have I seen many businesses shelve plans on making critical infrastructure investments, one of the things we're seeing in terms of wages, it showed up in the Fed minutes, firms continue to hold back on wage increases, trying to look for non-wage ways of incenting people because they don't want to make that full commitment to workers going forward because they're uncertain about what the future looks like. And remember, if you're not investing and you're not building on that foundation, you're not only undermining current growth, you're undermining the growth that we see going forward.
The Fed minutes that you mentioned, they came out yesterday, and looking at them, it's basically like opening a lid of a view into major disagreements at the Fed on some pretty basic questions of where this economy is headed.
Not only where this economy is headed, where inflation is headed, and how do you model it? How do you think about it? But it also underscores the uncertainty of the environment we're in and raises the questions even further about what businesses can expect from monetary policy as well as fiscal policy. You add to that complete and utter uncertainty about who's going to sit at the helm of the Fed and at the Board of Governors in Washington, 5 of 7 seats, including that of Chair Yellen and Vice Chair Stan Fisher, all turn over within the next 6 to 8 months. That's regime change, the likes of which we've not seen at the Federal Reserve since 1936.
Diane Swonk, CEO of DS Economics in Chicago, thank you.
Thank you.
Monday, there is a total solar eclipse. It is going to be awesome. Unless you happen to be relying on solar power. Even a partial eclipse will still cut down on sunlight. Marketplace's Aaron Schrank reports on how California grid operators are getting ready.
California's power grid is the most solar connected in the country.
On some days, 40% of our demand is served by renewable energy, including solar power.
Ann Gonzalez is with grid operator California ISO. She says while the eclipse is happening, about 6,000 megawatts will be unavailable, enough to power about 6 million homes. Other sources, like natural gas power plants, are lined up to meet demand.
This is probably the most preparation for a three-hour event that this organization has done in its history.
She says no disruptions are expected. But the eclipse comes as advocates for coal and nuclear power want reforms that would subsidize their energy over solar on concerns of reliability. Timothy Fox is a research analyst at Clearview Energy Partners.
A severe negative event could provide critics the ammo they need to move such policy forward.
If everything goes fine, it helps bolster the case that solar can safely be a big part of the power grid going forward. I'm Aaron Schrank for Marketplace.
Walking dogs can be such a burden, what with the walking and the dogs. Well, a company in the UK can take that trouble right off your hands. It's selling drones that walk dogs. No, it won't pick up their poop. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.